Jesus, we just pray that as the title of this message is, what does the sacrifice of Jesus mean to us? Dear Holy Spirit, open our minds and our spirits that we can learn more and more of what the sacrifice of Jesus means to us. And we know the subject is infinite, Lord, but open our minds and our spirits, Lord, that we could receive as much as we could bear, Lord Jesus, as much as we could absorb. Speak to us, dear Holy Spirit. Take this message into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So since this morning is a communion service, I would like to discuss what the sacrifice of Jesus means to us. What do we see in the cross? How well do we understand the sacrifice of Jesus? Have we really understood the depth of the meaning of the sacrifice of Jesus? What is the value of the cross in our lives? We know that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have forgiveness of our sins and salvation, but we need to examine the meaning of the sacrifice in more depth, in greater depth. In the hymn we sang this morning, At the Cross, the second verse states, Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Grace, unmerited favor. That is the greatest grace I've ever heard of, the grace that the Lord extended to us to come to earth and die for our salvation. Each of these categories, pity, unknown grace, and love of our Lord, is a topic in itself. This morning I will try to just skim the surface of the depth of the meaning in the sacrifice of Jesus. We need to spend time at the cross, to abide at the foot of the cross, and study it. We need to really absorb what happened there and to understand as best we could what the cross means to us. This morning we want to pray, as the song states, as we sang this morning, Jesus, keep me near the cross and bring its scenes before me. Say, wow, the scenes are gory, extremely. But we still say, bring the scenes before me. We have to know in all the gore what Jesus suffered for us. We can't take lightly, oh, Jesus died for my salvation. No, we need to know the gore. How many people watch a gory movie? Well, then what about the crucifixion? What about the gore, extreme gore of the crucifixion that our Lord Jesus suffered? We want to know that. So, what does the sacrifice of Jesus mean to us? Let's turn to Luke chapter 16 and we'll read verses 19 to 31. Salvation from hell. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am tormented, I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he's being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. The rich man went to hell and was tormented in the flames. He cried out for a drop of water to cool his tongue. There's no getting out of hell, as we know. It is eternal torment. Jesus does not send anyone to hell. A person sends himself by constantly rejecting the Lord and his sacrifice and his life, and even at the point of death. This person sends himself by constantly rejecting the Lord and his sacrifice all his life, and even at the point of death, the person is still rejecting. There are three characteristics of hell that can be seen in this passage. Number one, torment in the flames. Two, memory of lost opportunities. The rich man could have given food and clothes to the beggar, but he never did. He could have given Lazarus an opportunity to wash and invite him for dinner, but he never did. He could have sent Lazarus to the doctor and paid for the bills, but he never did. Luke was a physician, the author of this gospel. This rich man could have sent Lazarus to Luke. Never did. The third characteristic of hell, eternal separation from God. I want to read something else in Mark chapter 9 and beginning at verse 43. Mark chapter 9 and beginning at verse 43. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and where the fire is not quenched. Jesus was not recommending physical mutilation of your body, but he was saying strive against sin. Make your best effort not to fall into sin. Jesus then described two characteristics of hell. The worms don't die. Worms are believed to inhabit the souls in hell. The fire is not quenched. It never goes out. I know this sounds very gory. You say, Jonathan, what are you talking about this for? Because when we come to the table, remember what Jesus saved you from. If it weren't for Jesus' sacrifice, we would be going there. I want you to really appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus, because he's the only one that's standing between us and eternity in hell. Matthew 25, verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here the Lord describes another aspect of hell, referring to outer darkness. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth. People who have had visions or experiences of hell have described unimaginable torment, including torment and torture by demons, mutilation of the souls in heaven. But, a big but, and it's what we're here for this morning. Thanks to the cross. Thanks to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Can I hear, after discussing hell, can I hear from you a thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank, amen. Everybody, thank you, Jesus. We just heard about hell. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks to the cross, we will not have to experience these horrors of hell. Satan and all his powers and hell were defeated at the cross.
Amen.
This is what we need to understand in studying the infinite value of the cross, the infinite value of the cross in our lives. We should have a profound appreciation for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And as Chris Tomlin sings, we owe everything to Jesus. We should be in awe of him this morning. At the cross, I'm in awe of you. We should be. We owe everything to Jesus. He frees us from hell and opens heaven instead. Did you ever see such a contrast? A place more beautiful, more wonderful than our wildest imagination. And it will never end. How about healing through shed blood? We have healing of every known infirmity through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. There is healing of the mind at the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Only Jesus did that for us. There is healing of every spiritual condition at the cross. Jesus carried every type of sickness at the cross, from cancer and heart disease to the common cold. Because if it weren't for Jesus, you would never get rid of the common cold either. He paid for healing of the body, soul, and spirit. He paid it all. Thank you, Jesus. Infinite love at the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows us and clearly proves his love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, when he didn't have to. Jesus, in an immense, infinite love, left his throne in heaven to come to this miserable planet, so that he could die for sinful humanity and the sin-ridden land. He took abuse from man who he created and for whom he came to He took abuse from man whom he created and for whom he came to die. He permitted this abuse to go to the extreme and most awful pain of scourging and crucifixion. Jesus could have come down from the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 42. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. This is what they're saying to Jesus at the foot of the cross. What a great temptation. Jesus could have come down from the cross, healed all his wounds, and delivered himself from all that unbelievable pain and torture. Imagine being able to relieve himself from that horrible, excruciating pain, and he wouldn't do it. because of his infinite, unimaginable love for us, he would not come down from the cross, even though he could have. Not only did he not come down from the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. How could a person think of joy when he's in horrible, excruciating pain? Jesus had the joy of our salvation in mind. It seems like the joy of our salvation was more prominent in his mind than the terrible, awful pain that he was experiencing. He saw our release from hell. The angels saw and were horrified at what was happening to their Lord, but they were not permitted to help. Jesus wouldn't let them help. Jesus saw all the angels at the foot of the cross. One word from him, they could have killed all the people that were torturing him and shouting and that crucified him. The angels stood at the foot of the cross in horror. They couldn't do anything because Jesus wouldn't let them. In all his excruciating and horrible pain, he wouldn't let them help. How come? Us. Because of us. It would have only taken one angel to destroy Jesus' enemies, but not even one angel was permitted. Jesus was not forced to come to earth and go to the cross. He came willingly with a heart full of unimaginable infinite love. He decided to be the sacrifice for sin as soon as Satan sinned and contaminated the universe. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 states, speaks about the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, in the book that Brother Petrelli wrote, The Redeemer, he defines slain for us, slain in spirit. Slain is one of the strongest terms which could be used when speaking of Jesus' sufferings. The word in the original has a meaning which cannot easily be rendered in one word. It is to be cut in the viscera. It means that his sacrifice was the consequence of the most tender and deepest love. It would have been impossible for him not to offer himself for the redemption. So intense and tender is he. What about the power of restoration at the cross? We're talking about the meaning of the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross. What about the power of restoration at the cross? We know that the restoration of the soul is a wonderful, beautiful event. The only way this is possible is through the cross. At the cross, there is power to redeem lost souls. Even the worst criminal could be saved. There is power to draw the backslidden. At the cross, there is chain-breaking power. From the song, He Bought My Soul, it says, He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. Fetters are strong chains. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Chains of fear, he broke them. Chains of addictions. A person goes from addiction to substance abuse to addiction to Jesus. And if we're not addicted to Jesus this morning, we should be. There is power to deliver from all sin and bondage. There is power over all darkness at the cross. Power to take care of all our burdens. Power to wash our souls clean through the infinite power that is in the blood of Jesus. There is life-transforming power at the cross. Life-transforming power in the blood of Jesus. Power to make the greatest sinner into the greatest thing. There is wonder-working power at the cross. Don't ever limit the power of the cross. There is mind-boggling power beyond our wildest imagination at the foot of the cross. There is victory at the cross. There is no problem, no heartache, no enemy, no attack, no evil that can stand up to the power of the cross. Whatever you bring to the foot of the cross, the power of the cross is greater. It is interesting how all this mind-boggling power resides in two pieces of wood. It's because Jesus hung on them for 6 hours. It's because his blood ran down these two pieces of wood for 6 hours. At the cross, there is victory over all sin and death and hell. Hell trembles at the power of the cross. All you need can be found at the cross. There is nothing that cannot be fixed or remedied at the cross. There is no problem of any kind that cannot be solved at the cross. There is no need that cannot be met. Whatever you bring to the cross, Jesus can take care of it. No problem, no issue can withstand the power of the cross. How could this be? It's because Jesus hung on it for 6 hours. It's because he shed his blood at the cross and became the sacrifice for all of humanity at the cross. There is infinite room at the cross. There is always room for one more soul at the foot of the cross. From the hymn, "Room at the Cross for You," though millions have come, there's still room for one. There is room for everyone to come to the cross. What about the glory of the cross? The hymn, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory," states, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time." Whether or not a person believes it, the cross does tower over all time, all civilizations, all opposing beliefs and religions. It towers over all of man's accomplishments. It towers over all history. Its power towers over any power known to man. What else in this world has the power to redeem from hell? It towers over the grave and hell. Great men, monuments, statues have come and gone since the beginning of time, but the cross still stands in the hearts of all believers. You can still see images of the cross on landscapes. Today, the cross is invaluable and very dear to every believer. To the believer, the cross represents everything most valuable in this life and our hope for eternity. There is no value that can be placed on the cross of Jesus. It is more valuable than any accomplishment of man. It is more valuable than any precious metal or gemstone. It is more valuable than any amount of money. The riches of this entire world pale in comparison to the value of the cross. I'm going to repeat that. The riches of this entire world pale in comparison to the value of the cross. The cross is an incomparable gift given by Jesus. It is the place where he sacrificed his blood, his life, everything for us. We speak of the mighty, most awesome, incomparable, indescribable cross. The mighty, the most awesome, incomparable, indescribable cross.